Arizona sports, the local sports leader.
Bickley and Marotta Mornings, Social Studies, brought to you by CarolHasTheBuyers.com. Carol Royce, your home sold guaranteed realty.
Time to see what's shaking on social media at Bickley underscore Marotta on Twitter. Sarah Cazell's here to take us through some social studies. Hi, Sarah.
Hello. Welcome into Social Studies, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome. Hello. Welcome.
My favorite part of the day, perhaps.
My favorite part.
I'm trying to think if that's true. I think it is. We are on Twitter at Bickley underscore Marotta at Bickley underscore Marotta. We also have an Ask Me Anything up on Bickley underscore Marotta as well, which we'll be getting into later in the show.
Yes, send in your questions.
Yes. For any of the four of us. All right, let's start with the Phoenix Suns and the coaching search. We just had Tim McMahon from ESPN on a few segments ago, and you guys asked, hey, why is this taking so long? And he said he doesn't really know why, but he thinks that the momentum is building toward Kevin Young, as I think we've all been assuming for the last few days. So we're asking you guys and our listeners, why do you think this search is taking so long for the Suns?
I wish I had an answer for it. The only possibility that I still hold out there is that there's something way out of left field cooking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's likely or if it's just procedural. They're being very, very deliberate and dotting the I's and crossing the T's before they name Kevin Young. But until that's happening, I'm...
Yeah, I've thought of all the scenarios in my head. Are they waiting to after the NBA Finals? Do they want, because they know that this is going to be a media event with some hard questions, do they want Devin Booker and KD to be around? Would that be disrespectful for Monty if you asked them to be around? It could be any number of things. I think Vinny's... The idea that maybe they're still waiting on something to be sure, that sounds plausible to me, because I would really think that, I think Matt Ishbia would look at Kevin Young, and I've said this before, and I think maybe he'd vibe on the age and the ambition and the level of success he's had this early in life. But I also think that he also knows I got to get a guy who can do this job, and this is a tough job. It takes coaches a long time to learn how to get a team to the finish line. Can you really expect a rookie to do it?
Yeah.
So that makes sense to me as a possible explanation.
Okay. Mark, similar response. He says it's taking the Suns so long to find their next head coach because they're talking to someone not on the list that we are seeing. So right now it's Doc Rivers, Frank Vogel, and Kevin Young left on this list. Mark is saying, hey, maybe it's somebody from outside that. Jesus Tacho says it's taken so long because it's Kevin Young and always has been Kevin Young, but they want slash need the perception of doing their due diligence before they hand it over to someone with no head coaching experience. Cooper says, when you're going with your assistant coach and he isn't interviewing elsewhere, why not take your time and see if a dream coach opens up? Ralph Amsden says, the Suns are waiting on Sean Payton. PTSD on that one. Daylight Film says, hey, maybe Matt Ishbia wants to speak with Bob Myers, and Bob would have input on the new coach.
See, that's a possibility.
What if Steve Kerr woke up this morning and said, oh no, Bob is gone, what am I going to do? Hey, Matt Ishbia.
Well, if they said, let's run it back in Phoenix, I mean, Steve Kerr does have roots here.
Yep. Metallica James says the Suns are taking so long to find their next head coach because they made a huge mistake.
Uh-oh.
Womp womp. Justin Prestigard says, I blame the landfill.
That is not an incorrect take right there.
Right. It's if anything goes wrong, it's always going to be the landfill. All right. We're sticking with the NBA. Looking at the finals, though, they get started tomorrow night in Denver between the Nuggets and the Miami Heat. We're asking, who are you rooting for in the finals and why? We've got a 1 seed in the West, an 8 seed in the East, Jimmy Butler, Nikola Jokic. Who are you rooting for and why?
Jimmy Butler, who has trademarked the phrase Himmy Butler, which he's using for his line of coffees and beverages
big
and all that.
Big face coffee?
Yeah. Himmy.
Amazing.
I'm voting for Himmy.
Yeah. I'm going to cheer for... I may change my mind, but I think I'm going to cheer for Jimmy Butler in the Heat.
The Denver Nuggets have only had 46 years of pain. It's not nearly enough. That needs to continue.
46 more!
46 more years of pain for the Denver Nuggets.
All right. This is a lot closer than I expected. 52% say they're voting for the Miami Heat. 48% say they're voting for the Nuggets.
Wow.
P. Becker says, it would have been Denver that I'm rooting for, but this constant whining from Michael Malone and the Denver media about needing more respect from the national media has gotten so annoying. Yeah, we do it here in Phoenix as well, but Denver has gone way over the top, says P. Becker. Kenny Young says, I'm rooting for the Heat because I am bitter and I hold resentments.
Hey, he's honest.
Well, that's kind of where Vinny's coming from. It's like, I can't have it, so I don't want you to have it either.
Right.
I don't want them to get it first.
Well, isn't that the same thing?
They could have it. I just don't want them to get it before me.
Just not yet. Right.
Like, if this was Portland in the finals, they've already won a title. That'd be fine. Yeah. No?
But maybe that it, remember, the rising tide lifts all boats theory, that maybe enough of those things, you know, but I'm not worried about that with this owner. It's...
Okay. Nicholas Blackiston says, I want to see the Nuggets humbled, so another person rooting for the Heat here. They were lucky as hell that Chris Paul went down in game two because he was starting to cook then. The Suns can beat the Nuggets next year if they stay together and find a way to be healthy for the playoffs. Always a big if they can stay healthy in the playoffs.
Yes.
Isaiah Utley says, this is the first time in a long time where I'm content if either team wins. Neither of these teams nor their narratives this season are very unlikable to me. 8-seed Heat capping off a historic run for Jimmy Butler's first ring, or Himmy Butler, I guess, depending on who you are, or a first Nuggets ring for a franchise that's been around since the 70s. He is good with either of those. Rusty Smith says, it's about time that Joker gets a ring to complete his legacy, your favorite word, in the NBA. And then Corduroy says, guys, I don't want the Nuggets getting one before us. And what the Heat have done so far is nothing short of inspirational. They give me bench envy. Yeah.
I like that.
I get that.
Yes.
There's a lot to envy with that bench.
Just think, if Denver wins too, Bick, those two talk show hosts from our sister station in Denver are going to be over the moon.
Oh,
we can't have that, can we?
Okay, I'm on your side, Vinny. Let's go Heat!
Right. All right, the final episode, or what we think is the final episode of Ted Lasso, came out last night. They had announced before the season started that this was it, but then with Rich Eisen, Jason Sudeikis kind of left the door open a little bit. But a finale came out last night. And we're asking, of these four options, what is the greatest sports television show of all time?
Ooh.
And if your favorite isn't there, throw it in. Ted Lasso, Friday Night Lights, Eastbound and Down, Cobra Kai.
Eastbound and Down makes the cut, huh?
Well,
for me, I love three of those shows. I loved season one of the fourth show. Eastbound and Down got just stupid for me, so I stopped watching it.
Okay.
Friday Night Lights is my vote. That was fantastic television all the way through.
Did you watch any of those, Dan?
No. I generally stay away from watching sports-related shows because I just... When you work in sports, you realize how inaccurate many of them are. Yes. I don't know why I don't gravitate to them, but I don't. It's just, it's weird. As many rattle them off, I'm like, I haven't watched any of those.
On that line, though, I was reading a thing about how Ted Lasso is decidedly not popular in England.
Oh, is that right?
Because it's like, to them, the soccer scenes are very phony looking, the inside terms, they use a lot of American terms and stuff instead of like the British stuff. They just don't, they don't find it authentic. They don't like it.
Well, Bick, of these four, I've only seen one of these, and it's Ted Lasso.
Okay.
I loved Friday Night Lights, the movie, never watched the TV show. I know.
You should.
Haven't watched Eastbound and Down.
If you haven't watched Cobra Kai, you're just not living.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know.
Isn't it weird that there are so many good sports movies?
Yeah.
And I barely could think of four to fill out this poll for sports TV shows.
The White Shadow!
I know, The White Shadow was 40 years ago.
Yeah, it was. A long time ago.
The League was really big when it was in its moment.
Not a sports show, really.
I mean, Baller, somebody said.
Yeah. Baller's got dumb, too.
The first season of Brockmire, people said.
Yeah.
That got dumb, too.
Okay, let me read the replies from our people.
Oh, that's funny because you loved that show when it started.
I clicked on the first episode of the last season and I shut it off because the premise was so stupid. I was like, I can't even watch this.
Oh, boy.
And I never went back and watched it. But the first... The first, the opening scene of the first episode of Brockmire might be the funniest television ever.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
Oh, well, listen, it's about a guy whose life is an absolute mess when his wife left him. And so he's doing a broadcast and he just outs everything that's ever been.
Yeah. In great detail about how his wife cheated on him.
But in the sports broadcaster voice.
Right.
Oh, that's funny. Like over the PA or over the broadcast, whatever he's doing.
The first episode of that show is really, really good.
The first couple seasons were actually really good.
Okay.
It's like the famous Tom Brenneman call where he's...
The Nick Castellanos?
Yeah, Castellanos.
In real time, he's doing the play-by-play he's...
Really? Okay. I'm intrigued.
You can watch this in the commercial break.
I will. 36% say Ted Lasso, greatest sports show of all time. 34% say Friday Night Lights. 19% say Eastbound and Down. 11% say Cobra Kai. The rest of the replies include Blue Mountain State, Sports Night. The White Shadow got a lot of love. And Wrexham, too. Welcome to Wrexham.
That's a reality show, though.
I don't know. It's about sports.
I never watched Sports Night.
Neither have I.
It was great. And I never watched Playmakers. That's got some run on this thread, too.
I did not even see that. You can read through all of those shows if you're looking for some new stuff to watch on Twitter at Bickley_Murata.
Thank you, Sarah. Thanks to everybody who chimed in on social studies today at Bickley_Murata. Coming up next, not a bright future portended by one former Arizona Cardinal for this season. We'll get into what Carson Palmer has to say about the team state next. Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Dan Bickley, Vince Murata. Bickley and Murata Mornings. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
It's been a really disastrous, since last year, since Kyler got hurt. It's been really, really ugly with, new regime, getting rid of Cliff Kingsbury after they signed Kyler the long-term deal, and then boom, he pops his knee. So it's things are not promising. Myself being a fan from afar, I'm worried about this year. Maybe that's why the DeAndre thing happened, and they're really full rebuild mode and know that they're a couple years out, and they're putting that money aside and going to try to stack up some draft picks and really focus on 2024 or 2025. But as far as 2023 is concerned, I'm definitely worried about what's been going on over the last year or so.
That's Carson Palmer. He's just like us.
Yeah.
The former Cardinals quarterback on with Wolf.
I'm just like
yesterday.
You.
Celebrities. They're just like us. Sharing his thoughts of what he thinks for 2023. And he's not wrong. I mean, it has been a year and a half long downward spiral for the Arizona Cardinals. And, maybe that's another way to look at it. While we can all agree the 2023 does not look promising, there is a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel in the 2024 draft with what Monty Ossenfall was able to do. You treat this as like square one. When the Cardinals take the field in September, you won't even recognize them because they're wearing different uniforms. Good way to start over.
Oh, wow. Right? Yeah, listen.
I was at the store the other day, by the way, and they had the new Cardinals jerseys all over the racks at the store.
Is that right?
Yeah. And DeAndre Hopkins wasn't even on sale yet.
I think a couple things here. I do think that the low expectations is going to be a blessing for the Cardinals. So anything they do that's positive is going to hit differently. It's going to be cheered more loudly, and that would motivate me if I was a member of this coaching staff and of this football team. I would fixate on the fact that this is the NFL, where 90% of the players are the same, and while you're certainly missing the star power, if Kyler Murray comes back healthy, then you will have a path to being competitive a lot quicker than you think. Now, I'm not guaranteeing anything in this upcoming season, because it does appear to me like they're battening down the hatches for some ugly stuff, some rough weather coming through. That's what it looks like to me. And they better, because as we talked about earlier, if you're Jonathan Gannon and you're a rookie head coach and you've been talking a lot of positive, a lot of high energy, a lot of pew, 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 you've been doing all this. Okay?
Explosives.
Right. Explosives. Right. Shots. Pew, pew, shots. If you're talking like this. And you go 0-1, 0-2, 0-3, 0-4, 0-5 over October. That's a bad deal. That is something, because then, as I said earlier, then you've got people above you going, okay, you know what? We're 0-7. We really shouldn't bother trying to win a single game. And then people go, yeah, you're right. We should play for the... And
Kyler Murray, take the year off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then you get decisions like this, and then lo and behold, this attempt to build new culture kind of, you know, gets bottomed out at the very beginning. It's the road is full of potholes, but that's true for every NFL team.
Yes, but, you know, a couple of thoughts on how it pertains to the quarterback situation. What Jared just, you know, you get off to that 0-7 start. Hey, mm-hmm. Kyler, don't hurry back. But if you're going to be in position to have the number one pick, and that quarterback is out there that maybe you want to draft, have you complicated that issue? Something you brought up on yesterday's show from I believe you called it the Bickley Intelligence Network.
Yes, yes.
Clayton Tune could be the starting quarterback.
Uh-huh.
What if what if you find lightning in a bottle in Clayton Tune? Does that complicate your quarterback situation moving forward because Murray's still under contract and you're probably still going to have a draft pick?
Yeah, listen, sometimes my intuition is next level elite. Sometimes it's an absolute joke. I've got a strong feeling that this kid's going to be good. But then again, this is the guy who implored the Cardinals to draft Johnny Manziel. So take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, way to bring us right back down to earth.
This is the guy that said Max Hall was going to intangible the NFL to death.
Well, this is from the guy who called Matt Leinart a gift from
Pat. No, that was Denny Green. But I bought that. But I was drinking that Kool-Aid too.
I was too.
So yeah. My track record is very spotty.
Okay, Ben, as in maybe sometimes trash bin.
Yeah.
Sometimes the Bickley Intelligence Network.
Just depends on the day.
Carson Palmer, we talked about it, laying the groundwork now and starting to do things the right way, start to act more professionally as an organization, and all these negative stories that have given everybody so much fodder over the last 18 months need to go away. One of those things that we both identified is you have to take care of Buda Baker. You got to make him happy. He's going to be part of what helps you rebuild this thing, and Carson Palmer is in agreement with that.
When you are going through a rebuild year and you've got a new staff and your quarterback's hurt, not ready to play at the beginning of the year, those guys are instrumental. I mean, you need that leadership. You need those guys that have been captains in the past, that have been Pro Bowlers. He is the star of that defense. So when you're going through all the turmoil that organization's gone through thus far, you've got to have guys like Buda. So keeping him happy, making sure he's there is of the utmost importance. And from Buda's side, it's been a struggle the last handful of years. I mean, they've had some hot runs and good starts to seasons, and then they've kind of fizzled out as those seasons have gone on. The frustration builds, you know. Buda's a perennial, it seems, Pro Bowler year in, year out. You know, one of the more respected defensive players in the entire league. So finding a way to keep him around, finding a way to keep him happy, even though you're not saying, please come back, we need you back, we're going to make a Super Bowl run, that can't be the dialogue they're having. They need him back. He's under contract, and they need his leadership. They need that captain, you know, that type of captain presence that he brings to that locker room.
Could not agree more, mm-hmm. especially on the defensive side of the ball where, you know, the apparent leadership is not that evident. I mean, you got young players who could be splash players this year, and we're talking about it again in Isaiah Simmons and Zaven Collins, but can they be trusted on to be, you know, steadying forces as leaders on this team? I don't know. I think those guys are all on the offense yeah. right now, and really on the offensive line, and that's DJ Humphries and Calvin Beecham are guys that you have to lean on too, and they're in the fold, but I think it's imperative you take care of Buda Baker, and it's unfortunate he went public with the trade request. I get it, but, you know, Lamar Jackson also did, and we also thought he had played his last games for the Baltimore Ravens, and they took care of that situation mm-hmm. because they realized the importance of it. The Cardinals need to do the same thing.
Yeah, and as we discussed earlier, I think the Buda Baker thing is also important because this D-Hop debacle, in terms of losing a player for very little in return, they've got everything they do now has got to be just model, exemplary franchise. Because there was a period of time when the Cardinals thought they were that. They thought that they were among the top hot elite franchises in football.
Mm-hmm. But it just shows you how quick it can come crashing down.
Sure can.
If you subscribe to the Bickley and Murata podcast, subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. Never miss any of the show. It's the Bickley and Murata podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealer. Coming up next, we go into the archives, something we haven't done in a while. AMA. Ask me anything. Coming up next, Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports poll question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Welcome back to the show. We are Bickley and Murata Mornings, and we are glad to have you with us. Don't make fun of me, Jarrett. I'm feeling it.
Yeah, that's
I'm
great.
Excited.
Stop making fun of me!
We're going to ArizonaSports.com now for a quick look at our poll question. Hey, guys, who's going to be the next head coach of the Phoenix Suns?
Is that really the poll question?
Yes, it is. Doc Rivers, Frank Vogel, or Kevin Young? Who are you voting for?
Kevin Young.
The young one.
Kevin Young.
To the tune of 72%, our voters agree. They think Kevin Young will be the next head coach. 16% say Doc Rivers. 12% say Frank Vogel.
No love for Frank, huh?
Not this time.
12% love for Frank. There you go. There's today's Sanderson Ford poll question. You can vote on it now on the homepage at ArizonaSports.com.
Next question.
Don't ask me any more questions about this.
That's a great question.
That's the dumbest damn question I've ever heard in my life. I swear to God.
All right. It is Wednesday. And occasionally on Wednesday, we do Ask Me Anything, where our listeners will tweet us questions for Bickley, for Murata, even a few for Sarah and myself. We will go through them. We will present them to you, our favorite ones. We got some good ones today. Sarah, would you like to start with your favorite?
I would love to, and it's from our guy, Dave Burns. Burnsy!
Burnsy!
He wants to know what's going on with you, Dan, specifically. He says, I recently bought the vinyl of Van Halen's debut album. I was shocked to learn it didn't start with Eruption / You Really Got Me and end with Ice Cream Man. Bick, did they change the order on the CD or cassette? And is this the best Van Halen album of all time?
Do you know what he's talking about here?
Of course. What are you asking me of that?
He's asking, did they change the order, and is this the best Van Halen album of all time?
No, but what are you asking me, Jared? Why are you saying, do you know what he's asking here?
Because is that a known thing that the order of the songs is different on the vinyl than it is on
CD? It's come up on this show before, order of that specific album.
Well, listen, if the chronology of that album, the song that blew everyone's mind was the Eruption that goes into You Really Got Me. And everybody assumed, and again, on the CD, maybe they did change it around. I wasn't aware of that, but to answer the more important question,
yes.
I'm still voting 1984. I think Van Halen's debut album was fantastic, but 1984 was a masterpiece in my
All right,
opinion.
Looking it up, I just pulled up Apple Music, and this means nothing to the vinyl.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The track order on Van Halen's debut album, Running with the Devil's track one. Eruption,
followed by
two,
Eruption,
You Really Got Me, three.
Right.
So that's the order you're familiar with.
That is.
Okay.
Interesting. All right, this is a good one. If you were trying to impress your 16-year-old self, what would you say was the coolest thing that you have experienced in your life since then?
Ooh. I don't remember the audience here.
Good for you.
Oh, man.
What is something?
What did 16-year-old you guys care about?
You've got to, I mean, being the PA guy for the Phoenix Suns has got to be pretty,
that's pretty bomb.
Impressive to 16-year-old you.
Yeah, but I mean, I started listening to sports talk radio when I was like 9. The 620 Sports Line with Lee Hacksaw Hamilton. So the fact that I've done this for as long as I've done it, I think 16-year-old me would be pretty impressed by that.
Yeah, to me, and not to drop Michael Jordan again, but if you'd have gone me at 16 versus covering him X amount of years later, yeah, that would be very, very insane. Crazy to me.
Yeah.
The other thing, back to the whole album question from Burnsy, people always assume Back in Black is the first song off the album, Back in Black. It's not. Hell's Bells is side one, track one. Back in Black is side two.
Interesting.
Unless I'm wrong about that.
No,
I think it's always been the same thing.
This might be a sort of a Mandela effect thing for Burnsy. Like, it might have always been this order, and he just remembers it incorrectly. Interesting. Sarah?
Yes. I love this question from Rachel H. She wants to know, guys, if you had to choose one of the following to be stuck on a week-long road trip with, just you and this one other person, no one right. else to talk to, who are you picking? LeBron James, Aaron Rodgers, or Tom Brady? A tremendous question.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you have to pick one and nobody else.
Can I pick a crash test dummy?
Or crash.
A crash. Or just,
know what I would pick? I would pick Aaron Rodgers of that three.
Yeah, okay. Same here.
Because at least we could go down the trivia rabbit hole. He's a Jeopardy freak.
Oh, okay.
And he knows a lot of stuff about a lot of stuff. So even if it just devolved to me asking trivia questions.
So you would
questions.
just ask each other trivia questions
yes.
in the car?
Yes. What else could we talk about? I've never done ayahuasca.
Maybe that'd be part of the
road trip is the time.
That's the road trip right yeah. there, perhaps.
Okay, so we have two votes for Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Who would very you
two,
surprised
who
by
would
that.
You two vote for?
LeBron James.
You would vote for LeBron?
I like LeBron.
I think I would vote for LeBron as well. I know it would not be Aaron Rodgers, and I don't think I would want
to. You know LeBron has good wine,
Brady.
Access to a banana boat. What more can someone want?
LeBron at least seems like he has to have or likes to have a good time. Tom Brady just kind of seems a little dull. Does that
yes.
make sense? It doesn't seem yeah. funny. I don't yeah. think yeah. I'm going to laugh with Tom Brady.
What sounds better, avocado ice cream or Taco Tuesday?
No, oh, wow, when you put it that way.
Justin wants to know, have any of you ever walked
Tom
out?
Tom might want to go get a pedicure with you, though.
Ooh, yeah. that's such a fun time.
I could use a pedicure.
We know.
Oh, imagine touching your feet.
Remember that,
oh
that scene?
Hey, that person.
That scene from Dumb and Dumber.
Yes. With the belt sander.
Oh, no.
I thought you were going to say the scene from 40-Year-Old Virgin, but instead of waxing my chest or waxing my feet.
Kelly Clarkson!
Justin wants to know, have any of you ever walked out of a movie theater because the movie was so bad?
I never have.
Always sit through it.
I'm a glutton. If I pay... I walked out because of a misbehaving child before. I forget which kid it was. I think it was Patrick when he was young. Kind of acting up and running up and down the aisles. And I'm like, we can't do this. We got to go. But it wasn't because the movie was bad.
Yeah. Okay. Are you the same way with books? Do you finish bad books too?
What's a book?
No.
You cut and run.
I throw bad books out the window in fits of rage. When I see bad authors published, it makes me... furious is what it makes me.
You defenestrate a book?
What I do with my books is none of your business, Jarrett.
Hey, keep it above board.
I've walked out of one movie. I was gifted passes to see. I want to say it was maybe The Hobbit. It was one of those.
One of the Lord of the Rings.
What is that guy named Peter? What was the guy who did that? Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson. Yep.
Literally 25 minutes into the movie, they still weren't out of the Shire, and I'm like, I am so out of here.
That's funny.
Fair enough.
The closest I ever came, I almost walked out of the movie Sausage Party.
It's weird that wasn't good.
It was
what
sausage.
What did you
it
do?
Seth Rogen.
Going sounds. Into a movie and paying money to see a movie called Sausage was, Party.
And having expectations
there was a buzz about it.
There was a buzz?
There was. It was a Seth Rogen cartoon. He was hot at the time.
It was about a talking
so
talk hot dog.
So hot right now. Yeah, Seth Rogen.
It was awful in every single way.
Okay.
You got one more, Sarah?
Yes. Would you guys rather talk to an alien or a ghost? This question is from T-Rex 31.
Ooh.
Talk to an alien or a ghost?
That's actually
That's a
really great question.
Yeah.
Hmm.
T-Rex 31, way to go.
Do I get to pick which ghost?
Sure.
Then I'm going ghost.
To speak to a specific
a
person?
I could pick the ghost or a relative or a historical figure.
Okay, what if I said no and it's just a ghost?
Just a random ghost. Civil War general.
I don't care about you. I'd take the random alien then.
Okay. Vic?
I don't know if these are comps because I don't know if ghosts are real, even though I did have an experience in a Boston hotel that I still cannot reconcile.
Oh, no. Assume that you are able to communicate with the alien, if that's what you're getting
at. But yeah, there's more and more and more evidence that aliens might actually be a thing. So I think I'd rather talk to the ghost.
Okay.
finally, to the last one to answer the age-old question. This is one for myself. Do you eat soup or do you drink soup? You eat and drink soup. You do them both. It depends how chunky the soup is.
You dreed it?
If it was consomme, then you would just drink it. If it's a chowder or chili, you just eat it. But a regular soup, you both eat and drink. Much like cereal.
A chili is a soup?
I think it's a cousin of soup. I don't think it's a soup. Distant cousin at that.
Distant?
Twice removed.
What?
If it were a ghost, I would not choose to talk to it. Ghost cousin.
There was another one for you, and I saw both of them, and I knew you would pick the soup question, Jarrett. The other one was, would Jarrett choose the Redeem Team over the Dream Team just because of LeBron?
Jarrett?
No. Let me say this about the Dream Team.
Uh-oh.
Here it comes.
As the greatest names ever assembled, Magic Johnson was past his prime. Larry Bird could barely play at that point. Mm-hmm. So if you take them off that team was not significantly better than a lot of the other dream teams that the U.S. has put out there.
So the guys that were past their prime, if you take them off, they would. You're making a circular argument.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that like people say, well, that team had Magic, Bird, and Jordan. They just like think of it that way. They don't think that those guys didn't really actually contribute as much.
It was the greatest collection of basketball talent ever on one
ever
roster.
Assembled,
and it will
and
never
it's
be top.
Not even close. And you're right about Larry Bird. He, at that point in time, his back was so... And have you heard the story about Larry Bird? Larry Bird's back issues basically derailed his career in Boston, made him a shell of his player. He injured his back putting in a driveway for his mom. He was doing all this work as one of the NBA's top players.
Yeah.
Weird.
Being a dutiful son cost him his career.
So I'm sorry. Vinny's right about this.
May that be a lesson.
And you wrote a book on the Redeem Team.
I did. And I'm bailing on him.
Thanks for all the great questions, everybody.
Good stuff.
Some really fun ones that we didn't have time for because we were talking about soup.
I missed Ask Me Anything.
Yeah, me too.
Coming up next, could Monty Williams be getting closer to landing a job already? There's reports that indicate that might be the case. We'll get into that and more on final thoughts on this Wednesday next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Huh. What song is this? Never heard this before.
Shocking development, too. Dan Bickley had nothing to do with this.
Yeah. That's cool.
What is the track number of this song?
6.
You are correct, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, this is song 1 on the B-side, which is weird.
You know, we talk about things that are sort of extinct. Track numbers might not even exist anymore because people just buy individual songs or download songs as they're released.
Yeah.
True, but they still get released as albums, and you have the option to listen to a whole album. It just doesn't mean as much. It certainly didn't mean as much as soon as CDs came around. I mean, a lot of people, you say side A, side B, they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you... All right. How about it? Oh, good. Thank you, Vinny. Always appreciate some Back in Black.
Yeah, from 1980. Back in Black, AC/DC, today's Song of the Day. I think the 19th time it's been featured for Song of the Day.
43 years ago.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Clint Eastwood, by the way, turned 93 today.
Wow.
Still going strong, too.
No.
Get off my lawn.
We're talking about Clint Eastwood. What are you doing to Madison Bumgarner?
a look into the future for Mad Bum.
Bickley and Murata going off the grid.
Off the grid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
Yeah, Shyam Charania from The Athletic and Stadium putting this out today. Sources, : the Detroit Pistons are seriously pursuing 2022 NBA Coach of the Year Monty Williams to be their new head coach and are preparing a significant offer The offer could be in the range of $10 million per season.
Wow.
I got to say this. I think that would be a home run hire for the Detroit Pistons.
And probably a good fit.
And a good fit for Monty Williams. They've got a good young roster.
Yeah.
Cunningham.
Cade Cunningham.
Duren. Ivy.
Bojan Bogdanovic.
I don't know how much longer he'll be there.
Isaiah Stewart.
I like Isaiah Stewart a lot. I think that would be a...
James Wiseman.
Oh, yeah. Marvin Bagley.
RJ Hampton. Yeah, no, listen, this is, you're right, I agree with you. This is the kind of team that I think Bonnie would be good with.
Yes.
And he would be the second highest paid coach in the entire NBA behind only Greg Popovich.
How much does Pop make, do you know?
11.5.
Wow.
He would make more than Spoelstra, more than Steve Kerr.
That would maybe convince a man not to take a year off from coaching.
Yeah,
I
sure would, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'd be down for that.
I was just thinking, when we were talking about how odd it is that it's taken this long for the Suns to find a coach, I was thinking, it's odd how long it's taken Detroit to find a coach. Like, what are they waiting for? So maybe this is what they're waiting for.
Yeah, maybe. We'll keep an eye on that situation and probably more with Wolf and Luke and Burns and Gambo as the live programming continues today. I meant to bring this up yesterday because, you know, the NCAA championships, golf championships are going on at Greyhawk, and the match play championships are today. Did you see what happened to the guy from Oregon? Did you read the story?
No, I was actually watching some of it yesterday, too.
Oregon Ducks golfer Greg Solhaug was forced to withdraw from the NCAA championship tournament after a tee went through his shoe and impaled his foot. Solhaug was competing during Saturday's second round at Greyhawk Golf Club when the incident happened. He was 2 over through 10 holes when he had to leave the tournament. Casey Martin, you remember Casey Martin?
Of course.
Yes. He's the coach at Oregon. He said, quote, "I've been in golf nearly 50 years and I've never seen anything like that."
How? Okay, do we have details?
He stepped on a tee and apparently it went through the bottom of his shoe and into his foot. That is some industrial strength golf tee, is it not? Or... I'm assuming with Oregon. He was wearing Nike golf shoes.
I'm assuming it had to be a wooden tee because the plastic ones wouldn't do that.
They had pictures of him. He showed up the next day at the tournament. He was on crutches. He can't walk for 2 weeks.
Dude, listen, when I was a little kid, I'll never forget as long as I live, I was running through a little foresty area to get to my friend's house. We were going to spend the day playing baseball, and I'm running downhill through this forest, and I'm literally in the middle of a jump, and I'm looking down, and there's a big board with a nail sticking straight up right into my heel.
Yeah.
Down goes Bickley. Crank that thing out. I limp to my friend's house. His mom gets a big bucket of Epsom salt. Here, and my whole day was ruined. My friends were playing baseball while I'm sitting with my foot in a bucket.
Did you go get a tetanus shot?
No, those days.
My parents didn't care about me, dude. You could have got lockjaw. That's what I was always told.
Yeah, that's why they call him Gangrene Foot Bickley now. Did you guys ever see the movie?
Where there's a nail, there's a way.
Listen, I just had a conversation with somebody about this. We are from a generation, Vinny and I doubt Jared, but our parents got to the point with us where it was in or out. You're either in the house or you're out.
Yeah.
So if you were out, you had to be gone all day.
Basically.
You weren't even welcome back into your own house.
Summer, I hit the very tail end of that, but I grew up when they sort of came out with Nintendo and all those
things.
They
started parenting.
instead of the child abuse we suffered.
Summertime, when school was out, I was out of the house at 8 o'clock. Either in, you know, outside in the pool or at a friend's pool. You'd come home for dinner, then you'd go back out until it got dark.
That's right. Yeah. Our parents, they literally didn't want to see us.
Yeah.
They certainly didn't want that door opening and closing. Yeah. Our parents would get viscerally angry, in or out.
Yeah.
I'm not air conditioning the whole neighborhood.
That's right.
I wanted to read this to you as well. Jeff Van Gundy did a media conference call before the NBA Finals. And he has ideas to... I've heard nobody else say this. He wants to shorten the length of the NBA games.
What?
And he's got an idea. He said, "My most radical idea is to eliminate free throws until the last 4 minutes. If you get fouled on a shooting foul, you just get the points. You don't go to the line.
and you don't go to the line for technical free throws. They're just points. He also says he would eliminate halftime. He thinks it's the biggest waste of time, or he'd reduce it to 5 minutes so you could go to the bathroom and come back out.
Wow. I want to talk more about this. This is interesting.
I think it's one of the goofiest ideas I've ever heard.
It's not a sport that I heard people say needs to be shorter. In fact, the end of games is when they say it needs to go faster.
But the rest
of the game.
The less free throws.
But if you get fouled on a shooting foul, it's just points?
You think flopping was out of control before.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6. Thanks to Tim McMahon. Thanks to you for joining us. Wolf and Luke are up next here on Arizona Sports. Have a great day, everybody.